This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh. And it's never a dull day in Malaysia Bahru, apparently, with a lot of announcements, including yesterday's announcement following the cabinet meeting that the government is scrapping the MRT3 project, which had an estimated cost of about 40 billion ringgit. And this follows the decision to also scrap the 110 billion ringgit high-speed rail project last week.
Yeah, so according to Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir, in quotes, he said, if this country is to avoid bankruptcy, we must learn to manage our big debts. And one way is to do away with projects that are not beneficial to the country. Well, MRT3 is the final alignment of the MRT networks, and it's going to link the MRT1 line running from Sungai Buloh to Kajang and the ongoing construction of the MRT2 line from Sungai Buloh to Putrajaya. So yeah, should MRT be considered beneficial to the country?
Well, yeah, and also that word that Tun Dr. Mahathir used, right, these projects or projects that are not beneficial to the country, well then that's subject for debate, right? Gathering the statements coming out of the Pakatan government, they are looking at it in terms of cost, purely from cost, right? Because there's the 1 trillion ringgit debt that needs to be reined in. But Sharad, earlier or just before we got on air, you're talking about how you got some friends nearby the BFM studios who were eagerly anticipating a MRT3 station right at
the doorstep. Yeah, but for purely self-interested purposes, right? So they want the value of the house to go up. So should the country's interest be subordinated to the particular interests of individuals who say they want the property values to go up? I do think that, you're absolutely right, Han, that, benefit is really a cost-benefit thing, right? So it's benefits versus the cost that we... And I think it's the issue of cost and perhaps the inability of the previous administration to rein in those costs, because we have the initial cost, but we also have the final cost, and sometimes the cost overruns have been astronomical. So the question was it poor planning in the initial stage about cost, or was it poor management during the building of those projects that that ended up with those cost overruns, so on and so forth?
I think those are the questions. Terms and conditions negotiating when they were negotiating, the cost of the actual project, whether that makes a financial sense. So I guess looking at this, Pakatan Harapan is keeping to their manifesto promise to review mega projects initiated by the previous administration. And however, I think Dr. Mahathir said that more time is needed to implement that, right? Because in quotes, he said that some things are worse than what the government had expected.
I think there's also this other thing that perhaps we want to avoid is that this present administration reviews or cancels projects just because they're associated with the previous administration. And that's something we don't want, because that would mean it's not based on some reasoning that is solid, either financial or political or whatever. But, it's merely a knee-jerk response to the previous administration, whereas they were pulling the rug from under their feet. But if that's not the case and they have good reason, then that's the kind of government, I guess, we want to see going forward, that they give their rationale and it's very open and transparent.
Yeah, well, there's been some nuance coming out of the Pakatan government, right? For example, with the high-speed rail link between Singapore and Malaysia. From a personal traveler's standpoint, Sharad, Joyce and myself, we would love to have that, go to Singapore for lunch, come back for tea, right? But at the fiscal level, that may not be viable. And then also, coupling these kind of sentiments with what the Transport Minister, Anthony Loke, said. He says that, that project has benefits, but perhaps it's not a priority right now. So could we see a revival further down the road? We'll have to wait and see.
Actually, he did mention that they might relook at it if things are... I mean, they have bigger priorities right now, but he's saying that it is subject to review.
Right.
Yeah, so in quotes. Yeah, I mean, if we are in a better position later on, but as of now, the decision has been made to cancel the project. That's what he said in a media interview yesterday.
Yeah, and we also spoke to P. Gunasagaram, who's a regular on Pressing Matters and, of course, a business journalist, who said that, with most studies of the costs and benefits, the benefits often accrue more or disproportionately to the more developed areas of the line. So the line runs from point A to point B, and point B is more developed, then there tends to be a movement that way. So Singapore would tend to develop more. They, of course, have a shorter part of the line on their side. We have the longer part of the line, and so on. And so the question is whether this was truly beneficial to us, or in fact disproportionately beneficial to Singapore.
Well, Dato' Sri Abdul Rahman Dahlan, previously a minister in the PM's department, had said that Malaysia is set to lose 200 billion ringgit from axing the HSR.
Yeah, which then Tun Dr. Mahathir very quickly just said, well, show me the proof. Right, now coming back, so okay, questions around these mega projects aside, coming back to that headline grabbing figure of Malaysia's debt of over 1 trillion ringgit, Joyce, in your Breakfast Grill with YB Ong Kian Ming, he addressed that issue, right?
Yeah. When we look at the finances given to us by the ministry officials, we do have enough money. I think this is something which we were very concerned about. But given the fact that we need to fulfill, you know, whatever bond obligations that we've had in the past because of the past government, I think the issue of having sufficient money should not be something of concern by the Malaysian public as well as by foreign investors. If we need to issue more bonds, I think Bank Negara as well as the ministry would be in a position to advise the minister on this matter.
Well, that was Ong Kian Ming, the special officer to the finance minister, who spoke to Joyce, to you, recently on the Breakfast Grill.
Yesterday, in fact.
Okay, so now we look at the other sort of dimensions in this rather complex machine, which is revenue. Where's government going to get revenue? One, of course, you don't need so much revenue, you're not spending so much, but that's one side of it. The other is, how do you, in fact, increase revenues so that in time you'll be able to spend more on things that you think, as government, are priorities?
Yeah, so Malaysia may collect up to 8 to 9 billion ringgit more in taxes and dividends from Petronas this year. This is because oil prices are high. So yesterday, Petronas reported a 26% surge in its first quarter profit to 13 billion ringgit. And oil prices right now are trading close to, 3.5-year highs right now at about over $77 per barrel, US dollars.
Yeah, well, that was the case in recent days. But guess what? There was a big sell-off in both Brent and WTI, right, in recent days. So it points to how, given that commodities go through their various cycles, right, it is a less reliant source of revenue for the government. So moving ahead, now, on one hand, you've got comments from YB Ong Kian Ming saying that we have enough money right now to service that 1 trillion ringgit debt. But then moving or having more reliance on oil-related revenues, that is not a fundamentally sound or sustainable alternative.
Well, the other thing, of course, is to understand what Petronas is. I mean, it's not a cash cow, right? Mm. Government shouldn't be running to Petronas and just simply taking from it what it needs. Though, of course, Petronas, in some ways, is the custodian of the natural wealth of this country in terms of petroleum. They, too, would need to put some of their revenues into development, into and so on and so forth. So the question is, how we see these windfalls that Petronas might be getting from the recent surge in oil prices or crude prices.
Well, Keming also shared on the grill that the government was also looking at higher dividends from the central bank as well as Khazanah. We also spoke about SST, the new SST coming on stream. What's the plan there? They're looking at changes for that than what it was before GST was introduced. One potential change that they're looking at is to extend the SST net.
Right, and I think questions is when it will roll out. I think there's some media reports that it could be September, and at what rate, right? Mm. So if you're going to extend the SST and make it more broad-based, then it dilutes the argument for abolishing GST to begin with, right? Because GST was this broad-based consumption tax. And many quarters on the show have said that they have been unfairly made, GST has been unfairly made to be this boogeyman, right? So revenue...
But the SST thing, of course, the tax is not happening at the consumer level, right? It doesn't happen when you buy something. It happens.
Level, yeah. But let's see how the retailers, how it's going to be implemented. Yeah.
Point of view, it might be a much more nimble tool to target. So you make sure you don't tax goods that directly relate, especially to the livelihoods of the B40. I mean, there are many ways to that. Where's GST? is implemented. I mean, India is very different. They have a four-tier GST system there. We had a single tier across the board.
But the idea is
with some zero-rated items.
Yeah, but with GST, you can have that. You can claim back the input tax, right? No, so then you pass it along. So you've got that mitigating factor as well.
Technically, yes. Mm. But whether or not the retailers or the people who sell the goods, whether or not they claim back or they charge that to and pass it along to consumers is another question.
And so same thing, you know, whether or not retailers will play ball when the SST rolls along.
Execution.
Well, this is a conversation that we'll come back to, I think, for many weeks to come. So stay tuned with this, watch this space. We're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the news and then we'll have the opening numbers in the stock market. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.